Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Harmonize with me and hold me tight all through the night. You're shining bright. I'm your oyster, baby. You're my pearl.
William!
Hiya, Tom!
Here we are.
In the Friendship Onion Studios here in Hollywood, California.
Yes, and it looks lovely here, apart from a few areas in the walls that need to be filled with some fanart.
How are we going to get people to send fanart?
Well, interesting that you've asked me that, Bills, yeah. Because we have recently opened up the arena, the auditorium.
As it were.
If people feel inclined to send us some fun fanart that includes Billy and I. It doesn't have to include Billy and I. It could just be something about the show.
Could be anything.
Anything about the French Bunion that you want to get across, and we're going to look through it at a later date and put it up on these walls, and it will look spectacular.
Anything you want. Maybe it's Lord of the Rings. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's Sex Men or Lust.
Sex Men?
X-Men, when you were an X-Man, remember?
Right, no, I was just checking, because we are quite sexy men.
Well, you could put something about sexy men. Anything you want, or
maybe
the Friendship Onion.
Maybe you've switched my career with Billy's career, and I am at the front of a wonderful sea-bearing ship with Russell Crowe, looking like I'm getting ready to get involved in a war.
I don't think you could have drove that ship the way I did.
No, you were exceptional.
Amazing. I took it from the stars mainly, but also sometimes from the weather.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just feeling a little bit nippy. Okay, we're heading that direction. It feels warmer over
there. Yeah, it's a bit warmer over there.
Yeah, I could be one of those guys. Was he called Barrett Bondon?
He was, yeah.
Wow, my memory, I tell you what.
That is incredible.
And you could be one of the sexy men.
Yeah, I'd love to be a sexy man.
Hanging out with Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds. Or Huge Ackman, as we used to call him. I'm going to control a helicopter.
Peeling the onion.
Hey.
What?
Should we do some housekeeping?
Housekeeping! Why is it for you to keep a house of treat and true?
Here we are, Dub. Now, people have sent in some stuff. You remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about, you know, if you were watching Lord of the Rings and the person you're watching it with was like a big fan.
And you just
pretended you'd never saw it before and you could say sort of awkward things and silly things. Yeah. I'll tell you what Dave says from Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
He says, here's what I would say. I would say, why is Harry Potter in Lord of the Rings and when's he going to use his wand?
Brilliant.
I quite like that.
Hey, we've been hanging out with that Elijah Wood relatively recently, and he said to us back in the day, I don't think it happens as much now, but he was consistently confused with old Daniel Radcliffe, wasn't he? And I think Daniel Radcliffe, the same.
Yeah.
You know?
And one of them used to say to people, Forgetium. Guess which one would say that?
Harry Potter.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Well, that's lovely. Thank you, Dave. And then Carol in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, I'm going to guess. Or it could be Philadelphia.
But PA.
I'm going to say Pennsylvania.
Is Pennsylvania a state?
Yeah.
All right, carry on.
I think so. Hi. Accurately predict plot twists.
Oh, yeah.
When Strider first says, wouldn't it be cool if Well, when Strider first appears, thank you, say, wouldn't it be cool if he turned out to be a king? Brilliant. Or when Gandalf dies on the mountain, say, wouldn't it be cool if he came back with different coloured robes? That'd be good. So basically, spoilers all the way through the films.
Yeah, I think that's quite good for someone who thinks you've just started watching
it. That's good. I met a guy recently who said that he can't watch Lord of the Rings with his friends anymore because he speaks out all the lines. And I said, don't be that person. There are big chunks of films that I know too, but you have to let people have their own experience, you know? It's not really fair.
Well, I watched Spinal Tap with you once and you did every single line.
I did. Well, you know, the other thing to keep in mind with me is I'm a hypocrite.
Stephen says, here's one about siblings, if you're watching it for the first time.
like when you find out Boromir and Faramir are siblings, you should start going like, oh, wait a minute, I'll work this out now. So is it Arwen and Galadriel are sisters, are they? Are they? Or Gandalf and Saruman, they must be brothers like Boromir and Faramir.
Mm.
Or Theoden and Denethor, are they brothers like Boromir and Faramir? Mm. That'd be quite good.
Yeah, that's
good. It'd be annoying.
It would be annoying. I think lots of people are just sending in annoying things.
I think that's quite good. That's basically part of it, isn't it, Dom?
Mm. Hey, another question here from Roger P. in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Said, hey guys, long story short, I'm a freelance photographer, been doing it for 10 years, and lately I've just been feeling like I wish I was further along or doing cooler stuff. Do you ever feel that way with your acting? How do you deal with it? We'd love to hear your thoughts. Do we ever feel like we were further along or doing cooler stuff?
I think that's a human thing.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a human thing. Everybody feels they should be somewhere else. Well, not everybody, but most people, even if you're doing really well, and things are going good, there's always a little bit, isn't there? You're like, oh, I wish I had those new sneakers, or oh, I should have a bigger house, or my car should be better, or you know what I mean?
Nothing is ever as perfect as you want it to be.
There's always the next thing, isn't it? And I think that's the thing with people who have a lot of money. I'm not one of them, Tom.
No. The Rock.
Yeah, say like The Rock or the guy that owns Amazon or that.
Bezos.
It's never enough, is it? But it must be enough sometime.
They want the galaxy.
But you're like, there's always the next, oh, I need that. But actually, sometimes you don't. I tell you, I read something somewhere once, and I don't remember who said it.
Shocking.
But he said, if you can sit in a garden, like without music on, not reading a book, just sit in a garden, look at the trees and the animals and feel content doing that, then that's it. You have won at life.
I can do that.
Can you, though? Can you?
Yeah.
Can you?
In fact, during COVID, when we were all locked down in our places, I took a little blanket outside and a pillow and I lay in front of my garden hill one day. And I'm going to admit this to you because I don't feel any shame around you because you and I are interplanetarily connected.
Mm-hmm.
I wept.
Yeah, you wept.
I wept. I said thank you to my garden because at that point in my particular COVID experience, I wasn't seeing anyone and I'd been doing a lot of gardening, putting a lot of time in there and I was starting to see some results. And that was really the thing getting me up in the morning and giving me kind of targets and goals. And I openly wept.
I think it's a huge lesson in life, Dom. If you can be content, then that is content and grateful, you know, of where you are. So I would say to Roger that you know, you've got somewhere. You know, you're a photographer. You're working.
Great.
You're doing the thing that you want to do. So, you know, you've got to try and find contentment in that. Mm-hmm. It's so important.
Celebrate.
We have such
the little
a small
things.
Time on
it's
this
only
planet.
Here for a moment.
We're here for a flash.
A brief glimpse.
In this universe that we live in, which is huge.
Yeah. What's the Shakespeare? All the world's a stage. And we are the floorboards that people walk on. And if you go stage left, it might be a cat. If you go stage right, it's probably the guy changing the curtains from, you know, closing into
Gordon,
opening time.
Whatever his name was.
And that's fine.
That's all right.
Men play many parts.
Most
sometimes
of them not very good.
Sometimes it could be a guy in a dress in
but
a play.
But it doesn't matter.
Sometimes it's Scooby-Doo.
But Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo. But all those roles are important. And then the really interesting point there, and sooner or later, you're dead.
Out, brief candle.
Out, brief candle. What is this quintessent dust?
Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow.
Man delights me. No. Man does not delight me. No.
What does delight you? No, the garden.
No women neither.
My garden.
No women neither. Yes, my garden.
My garden delights me.
I remember when you talk about being content, I remember being on a train with you once. Can't remember where we were going. Maybe we were on the Channel Tunnel or the Chunnel, as they call it over there. And I went off to maybe grab us a white wine or something.
Lovely.
And when I came back into the carriage, I saw you from a distance. You were looking out the window.
What was I wearing?
Well, I can't fully remember. Probably carry a dress. On. I think a dress shirt, no tie. You look very swish.
Carry on.
We weren't yet underground. You were looking out at, you know, the countryside, and almost the entire last third of your face was covered in chocolate biscuits. And you had a wonderful, contented smile on your face. And I remember stopping there for a minute and thinking, I don't know if I want to break him out of that joy to give him a glass of wine. And then I thought, well, the number one way to make Billy even happier is to ply him with white wine.
Especially if I've just had half a packet of Jaffa Cakes.
I think they were Jaffa Cakes. Do you remember? You were almost in like a dream, like a vivid dream. I could barely wait you out of it.
Lovely.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, yes, I agree with Billy on all those things. Just enjoy the moment.
But it's harder to do than to say, but it's a universal truth.
I was thinking this the other day. We're getting a little deep into this now, but I was thinking about this the other day. Some of these, I mean, you can mention so many, but I'm just going to mention a few now.
Right.
Some of these iconic moments in sport,
right,
or in history, world history. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. Kennedy saying, you know, ask not what you can do for your country, ask what your country can do for you. It's the other way around, but you get the idea. Michael Jordan flying through the sky, you know.
That was Superman.
Cristiano Ronaldo doing an incredible overhead kick. What we are fascinated with these moments, and you can go on and on giving examples, is that is someone in the moment. They're not in their past or in their future. They are vividly in their present. And because of that, they're showing up with 100% of their potential.
That's where you are right now.
That's where we are. That's where you were with the Jaffa Cakes looking out the window.
Oh,
I know.
We've nailed it.
We've nailed it. We've got one more question, Bill. Do you want to do that one? From More Magic on YouTube.
More Magic YouTube. Billy, since you claim to be a Michigan expert, did I claim that?
I think you did, actually.
Well, yeah. Well, if I did it, I'll back it up.
Family there, of course.
Right. Do you know where Iron Mountain, Michigan is, Dom? I'd have to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what Youpers and Trolls are? I'd have to say no.
So, should we revise the idea that you're a Michigan expert?
If those questions confirm that you're an expert of Michigan, I would have to say then I am not.
Let's demote you. What would you be? Michigan enthusiast.
That's quite good.
Yeah. Hey, Billy.
What?
I love cereal. You love cereal. Who doesn't love cereal? The crunch, the sweetness, the way you can accidentally eat a whole box or just sneak it as a midnight snack. Then you grow up and all the adult cereals were boring and tasted bland or get soggy. Understandably, we wondered if this was the cost of growing up and eating healthy. Well, that is where Magic Spoon comes in. It's got that sweet, crunchy texture that you love from childhood, but it's healthy.
Dom, they spent time making sure they got it perfect. That perfect crunch, the perfect taste, but without anything in there that's bad for you. Mm. And it's packed with protein, Dom. Mm. It's a healthy snack just about for anyone, whether it's after a workout, during a hike, midnight snack, whatever it is. And there's so many flavors, Dom. There's flavors for everyone, from the richest chocolate to the sweetest honey nut.
Oh, lovely. 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 to 5 net calories of carbs in each serving.
Wow.
It's low carb, it's keto friendly, it's gluten free, it's grain free, it's soy free, and only 140 calories a serving. You can build your own box with a huge variety of appealing flavors. The classics, of course, they taste just like you remember. You can mix your cocoa with your peanut butter for a real dose of nostalgia. They've got cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, muffin, maple waffle, honey nut, cookies and cream, cinnamon roll. It goes on and on and on.
Go to magicspoon.com/onion to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try the magic for yourself. And be sure to use our promo code ONION at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/onion and use the code ONION to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
Dom.
Yeah.
Reserve Bar is the online source of premium and luxury spirits, wine, and champagne.
Oh, lovely.
Visit reservebar.com to create the perfect home bar or have the ideal gift delivered.
Lovely.
It's also where you'll find the best in new and hard to find bottles and those celebrity spirits that you've been wanting to try.
Mm-hmm. No one does spirits gifting better than Reserve Bar. Have a bottle custom engraved with a name, date or logo to create the perfect gift. You can build your dream home bar at Reserve Bar. Just select the spirits, wine and bubbly you love. They've also got the glassware and mixing tools you might also need. Reserve Bar offers the Cocktail Lounge, your online source for inspiring new cocktail recipes and the stories behind your favourite brands.
Now, Dom.
Yeah.
Ready-to-drink cocktails taste better than ever and Reserve Bar now has them.
Yum.
The pre-mixed drinks are great to have on hand for outdoor events. Mm-hmm. The hot trend in spirits are ready-to-drink cocktails and they taste better than ever and Reserve Bar has a huge collection of them. These canned cocktails are great for parties when you don't have time to tend the bar and they're ideal for tailgating season, which is right here, by the way.
Is that right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's right here, right now. So yeah. Visit reservebar.com today and use promo code ONION to save $10 off your purchase of $75 or more on spirits, wine, or pre-made cocktails, but only when you use our special offer at reservebar.com with the code ONION. That's reservebar.com and the code ONION. This offer expires December 31st, 2022. We've been lucky enough this year to be traveling around the country in Boston. I would say it's been one of the highlights, hasn't it?
I absolutely loved it, Dom. It's the history, you see. I fell in love with America. I love America anyway.
The United States, you mean?
The United States, not the Americas. Mm. The United States of America. Mm. And I liked the thought of all the people just trying to work out a new country, you know?
Well, Boston was one of the original cities in the United States, wasn't it? They got to a point where they'd been moving, and they got to a place where we thought, actually, this could be a place to play really good baseball.
There's a harbour there, so everything can come in and out of there.
Yeah.
So King George sent over his people, generals, people, and they all went there. So they were a colony of England.
Mm.
But then England was charging them too much tax, Dom. They were taxing paper.
Paper? I mean, it grows on trees.
Tea? That again?
Grows in the ground?
Taxing everything. And all the people of Boston, the Bostonians we'll call them, said, well, I've had enough of this taxing.
Mm.
Don't tax us so much.
Mm.
But King George said, no.
No.
You'll pay your taxes.
Taxes.
But
did this have something to do with the Tea Party?
Dom, that's what happened. A couple of hundred people went down to the boats where they had tons of tea from England and they dumped them into the sea.
Keep your tea, we don't want it.
We don't want it, we're going to pay tax on it.
Yeah.
And then it made the Bay of Boston into basically a big kettle of tea.
Yeah, a lovely big cup of tea. Did everyone go swimming and just...
You could go down there with a mug.
Lovely.
And get tea for weeks and weeks.
Lovely.
But King George sent over 100 ships full of 1,000 troops and he put them right in Boston Harbour there.
That's 10 persons a ship, isn't it?
You think it'd be more than that, wouldn't you? And he said, nothing gets in or out.
Wow.
For about 3 years.
Wow.
People were like, shit, we're stuck in Boston. Yeah. We can't get anywhere.
Yeah.
So Washington, who wasn't the president then, right. He was a general.
Right.
General Washington says, this is shit.
Yeah.
All these ships over there, we can't get in or out. What have we got to do about this? So you got a young guy. His name escapes me.
Henry John Adams.
Henry something.
Henry.
Anyway. This young guy says, hey, I know where there's some cannons about 2 months away. Washington said, go and get the cannons. And he did. He went 2 months over, him and his mates.
Westerly.
Pulled all the cannons back over the mountains, over the rivers.
Strong, wasn't he?
Yeah, him and all his mates. Right. Put them in a high hill in Boston, aimed it at the British ships. And the British general...
Get out.
British general went, oh.
We're in trouble there.
This is shit. What should I do here? Might lose all the ships. The king will be... He'll be annoyed.
Yeah, he'll be miffed.
Three days he thought about it. And then he said, let's get out of here. So all the British soldiers went back on the boats. They sailed off to England and that's how America started.
Have you considered having a history show about the United States? Because that was very succinct.
It was very good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Henry something.
Henry John Booth. Henry... No. Also, at that period in history, if a general is making a decision, they have to send a message, which I think could also be described as a missive. I'm not sure why.
Yeah.
Back to England.
Back to King George.
And to wait for the reply to come back. That is crazy when you think about it, right?
He didn't have time.
There's cannons here. We're in trouble. What should we do?
They've got the high ground. We've only got boats. Let's get out of here, he says.
Wonderful. Well, no, I feel educated.
Well done.
There's a phrase about a boat that I very much like.
Let me hear it.
A boat is... Hang on. A boat is rested in a harbour or something like that. Wait, a boat... Well, a boat...
No, a get boat this right. Is it I enjoys? Think this is going to be good.
It can't be enjoys because I don't think a boat enjoys anything.
Right.
A boat is... Oh, I know what it is.
Oh, here.
A boat is at home in a harbour, but that's not where a boat is supposed to be.
Where's it supposed to be?
It's supposed to be out on the open ocean.
It's safe in the harbour.
Exactly. A boat is safe in the harbour. But that's not where a boat is supposed to be. It's not what it's built for.
No. A boat is safe in the harbour, but that is not why a boat was built.
Lovely. And that is similar to maybe the human experience. Of course, you can be safe and well in certain places. You need to go have a look around.
Exactly.
Don't point a cannon at people, though.
No, unless you get the high ground.
Hey, Billy, we got some voicemails. Should we do those?
Yeah, let's hear one or two, won't we, John?
Hey, Billy. Hey, Dom. This is Seth from Lisbon Falls, Maine. Big, beautiful state of Maine. And I am loving the podcast. It is fantastic. And one of my favorite little segments is where you would put a swear in the Lord of the Rings movies. And so I would say it had to be for Treebeard. Tree, I am no fucking tree. I am an ant. Love you guys. You keep up the good work.
Thanks, Seth.
That was actually a really good one.
That's a good impression of Treebeard as well.
Yeah, tree, I am no fucking tree.
I like that.
Little fucking elves.
Lovely, good stuff there, Seth. Please keep sending in places where you think the Lord of the Rings trilogy deserves a swear word. Because we enjoy it.
We enjoy it very much.
Mm. How about another voicemail?
Go on, one more.
Hello, guys. Today, I went to go buy some clotted cream at the store. First, I bought double cream, and then after a quick Google search, I realized that double cream and clotted cream are, in fact, not the same thing. And so, my question for you guys is, what is your favorite type of scone to have with clotted cream? And what's your favorite type of jam / jelly or preserves to put on top of that? I would love to hear your answers, and thank y'all. Bye.
We didn't catch that young lady's name, but that's okay.
Maybe she didn't see it.
Should we just call her Scone Girl?
Yes, the Scone Girl.
Do you remember back in the day when you and I first started travelling around the world and stuff with Lord of the Rings? We would fly British Airways quite a lot, and British Airways used to serve scones with jam and clotted cream.
Delicious.
And a cup of tea just before you landed.
The first controversial thing that the Scone Girl said there was, what jam would you put on top of it, on top of the cream? Would you put the jam on top of the cream, or would you put the cream on top of the jam, Dom? I mean, everybody wants to know.
It's tough, isn't it? I'm trying to think which would help with the kind of grip inside of the scone. Would it be the jam first or the cream first?
See, I would think about that, how they mixed, and also which would be less messy for my knife.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's true.
Would you give the knife a second thought?
Well, I'm always thinking of single-serve jams and single-serve clotted creams because of my British Airways experience. I don't think I've had a scone with clotted cream and jam outside of a British Airways plane.
You've lived a life.
I like a scone with raisins and currants and sultanas and stuff.
I like them plain.
Do you? No fruit?
I like them hot. I like them toasted, slightly over-toasted.
Oh, a little crunchy, maybe.
Dark brown.
Ooh.
I put the cream on first, then the jam. I don't double it up because then you're only getting one go at the scone. I'll eat the bottom bit first.
No, so you're just having scone and cream.
Scone, cream, and jam.
Ah, you put
all on the one thing.
I double.
That's gone. I've still got the tops going.
I actually like that method because now, like you said, you got two goes at
it. It's almost like getting two scones.
Yeah, that's
and
lovely.
Plus it's a nice height for your mouth. I don't have a big mouth, Dom.
No, you don't.
So a full scone, if it's risen well, would be quite difficult for my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I get the bottom, and then the top, cream, jam.
Little break in between?
Oh, yeah, a little break.
Like a minute or two, a couple of minutes, just to maybe a couple of drinks of coffee, a little cup of tea.
Tea.
I think tea with a scone.
Tea with a scone, are you mad?
Because you don't want something too overbearing in its flavour, you know?
And I'd have maybe 5 or 6 mouthfuls of tea before the tilt bit would then go down.
Lovely. I'm actually going to steal that method from now on because, like you said, you're getting double the scone, half the height.
Yeah.
That's right. Have you ever come across people in the world that say height?
No, never.
I have.
No.
I'm telling you, if there's anyone out there that says the word height in this way, height, please get in touch and explain why. There are people that do that.
But there's not a T, there's not a TH at the
end. Not.
There's a GH before.
Height.
Height.
Is there anything that I say where anytime I say it, you always go,
whoa. That annoys me.
When I say I love you, Billy, and my mate, and you go, you make my blood boil.
Nothing you do annoys me.
Really?
Yep.
That means that I can't say the thing that annoys you. But you've cancelled it out.
It wasn't a thing. It's not a checkmate, but it's certainly a check.
Yeah, it was a
check. It's whether you want to play through that check.
Now, there's
You're thinking about it.
No.
Come on.
No. It genuinely doesn't annoy me, but we do say the word licorice different, don't we?
Yeah.
I say licorice, and you say licorice.
No, it's a three-syllable word for me.
Oh, go on.
Licorice.
Is that a Scottish thing?
Don't know.
I wonder. Any Scottish licorice people, let me know if you're saying licorice.
What's your favourite licorice all sort?
I think I like the triple sandwich.
Wrong.
What's yours?
The circular one, pink.
No.
No?
Too much coconut.
The double one, brown.
No. That's coffee, isn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely.
No.
The little circle with all the hundreds and thousands.
Now, I'll agree with you on that.
That's my wife's favourite and my son's.
And also not licorice. There's nothing in that that's licorice.
Are you sure? The jelly part's jelly, licorice, isn't it?
Is it? The jelly part's just jelly, surely?
No, it's licorice.
I'm going to poo-poo that. Anyone who's a licorice also expert, please get in touch. Or maybe Bassett's.
I'm a licorice also expert.
Who make...
Or at least an enthusiast.
Yeah, maybe you're an enthusiast.
I love licorice also.
Would you say that's your favourite British sweetie?
Yeah.
Which I think what mine is.
Like bonbons.
No, I think maybe...
Cola cubes.
No, I think maybe... You know what I like? Jelly stuff, a sports mixture. Because if you get wine gums, midget gems, or something else, the black is a kind of frothy, kind of almost licorice-y taste, and I don't like it.
That's the one I like.
Oh, I don't like it. But, oh, it's not sports mixture. It's fruit salad. But in a fruit salad, the black is a black currant. And I love black currant. Which brings me back onto the scone, or scone. I like a sharp jam.
Oh, do you?
Mm.
Well, give us your jam.
I would say either black currant or red currant jam.
Well,
I like a jam that makes you go, oh!
I would just always go strawberry. Just as a sort of...
It's a bit...
It's just, you know, it's going to be good.
Yeah, but it's a bit boring.
I know what you mean, yeah. Like, there's been occasions when I've had a grape jam and I've thought, that's nice, that.
And I think the difference, the distinction, because it was in the voicemail, the difference between a jam and a jelly is that a jelly is simply that jelly kind of consistency, whereas a jam contains fruit.
Is that true?
I think that is true. And you know, sometimes I will make up stories, but I think I've got it right there. If there are any jam or jelly experts that want to come on the show and give us an education, we'd love to have you. William.
What?
Tiffany's here.
Come on, you read out. Can we read out a little thing?
Your left.
There.
Hello, I'm here.
That's Tiffany. Tiffany, that's Billy. To your right. And then a little further over, it's me. I'm the one that's going to do the talking now.
Okay.
But you don't need to look at me, but you can.
I'm going to look at you and make it awkward.
Oh, this is weird already. I'll read this blurb as fast as I can. Tiffany Smith is the definition of the modern day Hollywood multi-hyphenate. Ooh. Do you now feel a bit weird, Tiffany?
Yeah, I do feel weird.
Yeah. As a popular host, up-and-coming actress, and in-demand web personality, as an actress, she showcased her beauty and talent as a spot on Meghan Markle in Lifetime's Harry and Meghan Becoming Royal, and has been featured on TV shows such as Supernatural, NCIS, Los Angeles, The CW's Jane the Virgin, Fox's Behind Enemy Lines, directed by McG. And films like Sony Pictures' House of Demons, Tiffany has additionally lent her voice chops as the voice of Hawk Girl in Lego
DC. Very good American accent.
Thank you. Supervillains video game. Acting and hosting aside, Tiffany is an avid supporter of environmental and ocean conservation. She has curated partnerships with companies that support the cause, such as Earths, Oceans, and Lonely Whales. She also supports such organizations as Operation Smile, UNICEF, and Operation Gratitude. Tiffany spends much of her free time learning stunt work.
Is this still going?
It's still going.
We're still doing it.
You wrote this yourself, didn't you, Tiffany? We're almost at the end. Tiffany spends much of her time writing up her bio and also learning stunt work, perfecting her aim at the firing range, checking out local vintage car shows, sweating it out in hot yoga, scuba diving. We scuba dive too. And yes, putting her newly acquired motorcycle license to good use. Tiffany Smith.
That is
welcome
me.
Welcome to the show.
Hello.
There's a lot
that
to
unpack. That was so uncomfortable for me.
Yeah. I started out uncomfortable and then became comfortable, and you started out comfortable and
became uncomfortable. I think I'm like sweating now. I'm
I am sweating. Dom, I hate to say this because this isn't part of the show. My stomach is killing me from that. I think it's from that hot pepper. I'm going to have to walk for a second.
Are you going to go walk yourself around? Are you getting cramps?
I think so, yeah.
William.
Oh, he said you might.
Is the bathroom nearby here? Like, go hear what's going on.
You're sweating. Billy, don't worry. Billy, go walk around. I'll make Tiffany at home. Well, Tiffany, let's talk about a few things that you and I both enjoy.
This is a great way to start a show. I just made one of the hosts leave.
Yeah, yeah. He's just like, I'm out of here. I can't handle it.
I can't do it.
Let's talk about scuba diving.
Yeah.
How long have you been scuba diving? What made you want to learn?
So I've been scuba diving probably for like 4 or 5 years now. And I speedily went through like the written part of the scuba diving stuff because I was going on a trip with some friends and we had the opportunity to dive the blue hole, which like
amazing.
You're not supposed to do when you're just beginning diving.
Right, right. Very deep.
Yeah,
very
it's
deep.
Really, really deep. But we did our like open water in the ocean and everything was fine. The guy that was training us was like, if you guys can get through this, like we'll keep pushing you on the trip and then hopefully we'll be able to get to the blue hole.
Right.
And we did and it was amazing and like I've dove with sharks.
I could say dived. Dived with sharks.
I went diving and there were sharks.
Yeah, good. Yeah, we found out.
And I've done shipwreck dives and it's cool. Like, it feels really meditative for
yeah.
me.
You're in a brand new world, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing. It's very, I mean, not only is it taking you away from your phone and everything that's going on above land, but it's one of those things, all the things that I do in my life that I'm like consistently trying to do over and over again, forces you into the moment. And scuba diving is all about the moment because you have to be conscious of like where you are in space and being safe and what's your air saying and, you know, where's your crew and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, I love it as well. It's super fun.
Yeah, one of the scariest was we went diving to see, what are they called? Shoot. On the bottom of the ocean, the eels. Nope, manta rays.
Oh, manta rays.
But it was a night dive.
Right.
And my flashlight broke. And that was like being in the moment. I was like, I literally grabbed one of my friends I was diving with because I was like, it was pitch black. I was like, I don't know what's up and what's down anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah, it's super duper fun. I learned with Billy.
Did you?
The man who just walked out because he's...
Oh, I don't know who that person
having,
is.
Yeah, he's having fun.
I'm just kidding.
We learned in New Zealand. So I think it was when we were shooting the second film and they had gone into...
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do heavy production on a sequence called Helm's Deep, which doesn't include us. And we were probably a week away from starting to do stuff with Treebeard. And they kind of said to us, look, you'll be working, but this is going to be a pretty kind of, you know, easy week for you. So Billy and I were like, what are we going to do? And we said, let's learn to scuba dive. So
did you tell production you guys were learning to scuba dive?
I think they probably had to. But I don't think they
I'm surprised they let you.
Yeah, because they weren't over the moon about us surfing.
Yeah.
But we did it anyway. And I think they got okay with his surfing, and then Vigo came out with us one day and got a black eye surfing. So Vigo never surfed with us again. But I think we were young, do you know what I mean? So yeah. they just let us kind of...
You probably didn't tell them.
Yeah, I think we probably didn't tell them. Because we also, like Orlando and I did like the world's biggest bungee jump. We didn't tell them about that.
Yeah.
Actually, Ian McKellen did that with us.
Oh my gosh. Which
is impressive.
That's very cool.
Yeah, and then so we did the world's biggest bungee jump, which at the time, this is aging me, but it's fine, was recorded onto a VHS tape. And I took that home to show my mum and dad.
Uh-huh.
And my dad very kindly recorded the football over it for me. Yeah. So I went out to the pub with my friends and I came back and my dad said, hey, I know you missed Match of the Day because you were at the pub. So I recorded it and I had this sinking feeling.
You're
in
like,
my,
I know
in my tummy.
It was on the tape. I know
was like,
it was on the tape.
Did you take the tape out before you recorded it? He went, no way. I said, that's my bungee jump. And my dad was like, sorry about that.
Could you go back to them and get another copy?
Don't think it really works like that with VHS.
Don't they have, I mean...
I don't think they kept it, yeah. Do you know what I mean? You're just like another grunt showing up. So they're like, here you go, here's your tape, get out.
I mean, I did skydiving, but that was all digital, so...
Right.
No one could record over that.
When did you go skydiving?
That was like, I want to say like 4 or 5 years ago. I did like a New Year's trip with friends on a boat, and at the end of the trip, my friend was like, I'm going to go skydiving tomorrow. You want to come? I was like, yes, I do. Cool. I've never done it before. And I just remember we were about to go up and they put us in this tiny plane. And as we're going up, I'm like, I can see through the floor of this plane.
Right.
So I was like, is this safe exactly? And I was like, well, I'm going to be jumping out of the plane anyway. So does it really matter?
You've got a parachute on at that point. Exactly. So if worst comes to worst, you just say, what am I supposed to pull?
And then exactly. You do. And that was also an incredible experience. And I would love to do it again.
Would you here's William. Would you describe yourself as a rather impulsive creature, Tiffany?
I like adventure. I like trying new things.
Now,
I will not be trying that pepper though because I don't want to have to run
William,
to the restroom like you just did.
Talk us through your symptoms.
That was awful.
What's happening?
Well, the guy who made the pepper said that we could get cramps like later.
Yeah.
Like menstrual cramps. I've never had that.
But really?
Yeah, he honestly said.
He did describe him as menstrual.
And while we were talking there, my stomach was like cramping up and I started sweating. Mm. I thought I was going to pass out or something.
I mean, that's just a taste of being a woman, I guess.
It's difficult,
a literal
isn't
taste,
it?
Just eat a piece of pepper. And
yeah.
It's difficult being a woman.
Have you seen those videos? It's like the Try Guys where they put the electric shocks on themselves and it like goes up to the point of like what cramps would be like. And they're like, oh,
yeah.
My God. I never get stomach cramps. I don't. But that was all. I thought I was going to spew up. I thought I was going to be sick.
No, I looked over at you and underneath your eyes, you were sweating and your forehead. And I thought, he's going to
I've never felt anything like that. I thought I was going to pass out in front of you and that would have been embarrassing.
Mm. Well, I'm glad it just... I thought it was going to come out the other end. Mm.
It will later. It will later. He'll definitely text me.
It will at some point. I mean, that's thing me, isn't it?
I'm sorry,
that's...
we don't know each other that well, but I'm totally comfortable talking about poop. So I'm
I think that's thing me. That's just... That's biology, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's true.
But I've never felt like that. And I really, I haven't eaten much today, Dom. So I think if I'd eaten something, I think I would have been sick.
Well, I'm glad you're back and you don't look sweaty.
Honestly, it's like, have you ever like lost your purse? And then you're like, oh my God, that's awful. It's got all my credit cards and my money and everything. And then when you find it, it makes you so happy. It's almost worth losing it. That's how I feel now. I feel good.
I wanna support you and say, yes, I know how that feels.
Have you never done that?
No.
Really?
I mean, okay, I could say losing something and then finding it and being like, yes. But it's then I kind feeling. Of go to the place where I'm like, why did I put it there in the first place?
Oh, you see, you've been hard on yourself. Just enjoy the euphoria as I am.
He loses stuff all the time. We're saying this to Elijah when we recently took a trip. We were talking about how many pairs of sunglasses and spectacles you've lost over the years. But I said to Elijah, to give Billy his credit, he doesn't really care.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I lost another.
Do you buy cheap ones though and lose them? Or do you buy like spendy ones and then...
No, here's the thing. I buy cheap ones, especially for reading, because you won't be at this yet, Tiffany. But as you get older, as I have done,
just through, you know,
being born earlier.
Yeah. Just life. Yeah.
Being born earlier.
Being born earlier. I can't read as good as I used to.
Yeah.
And so I've slowly degenerated. And I get these like terrible glasses. Not these ones, but I get these terrible ones for like $15 for
like
five
pairs.
Like
the ones you buy from the drugstore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you lose those and the legs fall off and you don't care. But then...
Is it legs?
Yeah, these.
The arms?
Is it arms?
I would think so.
What would you call it?
I mean, I understood what you were saying when you said legs, but I do think most people say arms.
Do they? Right. And then, where was I? Oh, yeah. So I started buying, like, these are a bit better.
Now I'm just envisioning glasses with arms or with legs on them. And I'm like, legs just immediately get very awkward.
Yeah. I think legs are better. You, and then you keep them open, you shut them, you do whatever you want.
It's much more really. Sassy.
We've moved into
sure.
a dangerous area.
Yeah. but now I spend a bit more so that I'll try not to lose them. Yeah. But I still do lose them. I probably got 20 pairs of reading glasses in the house scattered.
Because you just
that stresses me out. Thinking about that, you just have 20 things, just like you don't know
randomly.
That's why
around.
You get excited when you find things.
Exactly. Imagine how exciting it is.
Do you do it on purpose just so you can be excited when you find it?
I don't know.
Billy, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go on, Tom.
Will you be honest with me?
Yeah.
Do you secretly want me to be having cramps as well? Are you a bit disappointed that I've because Billy and I ate peppers at the same time. And then we had a little bit of competitiveness where I was like, I think I can handle it better than you. And Billy's like, well, I ate more than you. And I was like, well, that's not an exact science. But are you hoping that I get a little
I think
cramp
what in? Happened, as I mentioned as you came in, Tiffany, is I ate it down to the seeds, but he just scraped the skin.
Not true. Not true.
He never had any seeds. And I don't
you
know
didn't
if you
have any seeds.
I did have seeds.
I highly doubt you had
I
seeds.
Will show you it. How are you going to
show me? I mean, there are cameras in here, so there's probably evidence.
There's evidence.
Well, I am crampless. Can we please talk about Tiffany and stop talking about you?
Carry on.
Wait, I have to ask a question. So you were like describing stuff from Lord of the Rings, and I'm just going to be like, I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan. I grew up reading the books.
Oh, great.
I have an elvish tattoo, so you don't need to be like, this section called Helm's Deep. I'm like, yeah, no.
Yeah, I just always try and be like conscious of the fact that, you know, we do have people that probably don't know those things, and you don't want to be kind of an ego nut.
Yeah.
Be like, well, you know, we're making those movies. They go, sorry, what movies? So, well, cool.
Well,
what
I was
is your
gonna
elvish
ask,
tattoo
Tiffany
say?
Is a well-known geek. I know that. And what does the elvish say?
Well, I think that it says light in dark places, but I translated it online. So it could say like, you're
made
an
it,
asshole
made in
for all I know. Yeah.
Let's have a look at it. Yeah. Come on.
Billy speaks fluent elvish.
Can
so
you
could
read?
You
would you be able
that?
To read it?
If
translate
I put my glasses on, I would. That's exactly what it says.
Well, good.
Well done. You're like Galadriel.
Sorry. I like to think of myself a little bit that way.
Mm. Good. Like an elven princess.
Just more like reminder for myself to be a light all the time when I can.
Good.
What
I like
lovely,
that. We
what a
like
lovely
that.
Thing. Yeah.
We that's what we're about, you know. It's kind of easy, isn't it, to be negative and cynical.
Yeah. It
or
is.
It's easier.
Yeah.
And especially in art as well. You know,
it's
kind of easier. It's harder to try and be light and try to be positive. So good on you.
I also think it's a strange thing with being positive, where I think sometimes positivity can be misconstrued as like glibness or like a lightness about you,
like
where there's
naivete.
There's no depth. Yeah.
Yeah,
you're just like, oh, that person's generally happy, generally fine about stuff, generally okay. But it's a choice. Positivity, you are actively choosing. I have it a lot where someone comes over to me and says, oh, this and that, this and that, and I go, oh, okay. Well, what about this? That's a great thing to look at in that regard. You know, I do these Q&As on Instagram every so often, and very often people will say, I don't know what to do with my life. And I'll write back and say, what an amazing position you're in. Like, there's all that potential for you to choose. You've not gone down a route and now you have to backtrack. You basically have every single opportunity open to you.
Yeah.
And it's just a way of looking at life, you know.
It's just finding ways to celebrate things.
Yeah.
Because it's like, no matter what, like, I had to call my friend the other day because there was a job that I wanted, didn't end up getting it. And I was like, okay, what's wrong with my mindset? Do I need to tweak something? And she's like, no. You need to think about it in the way that had to go away for the right thing for you to show up. So she's like, celebrate that it's gone. Be joyful about it. And so it's like, it is consistently a choice that you make to say, I'm going to look for the silver lining. I'm going to find the reason why I can celebrate this thing.
Mm. Can I tell you a little quick story about
that,
Tiffany?
Yes, please do.
As you like the Lord of the Rings, because you've got elven tattoos and that,
I loved the musical Rent. You know Rent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was coming to London and I auditioned for it. And I auditioned for it for like 9 times or something. And it was getting so close to like me doing it. And to the point that I was doing a play at the time and my agent came up and says, you got Rent? And I was like, oh, great. So the next day I'm like telling everyone and then she said, oh no, wait, they're rethinking it. And I didn't get it.
Who tells your agent that you got it?
I know, the casting director. Well, it's in a sort of, you know, don't say anything, but obviously.
He's got it.
So I was devastated. But like 2 weeks later, I auditioned for Lord of the Rings. And if I'd got Rent, I wouldn't have auditioned for Lord of the Rings because I'd have been doing Rent or knowing that I was about to do Rent.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's your friend's absolutely right. Sometimes things have to move out of the way so it leaves the space for the other thing.
Someone told me this analogy one time where they were like, when you look at a tapestry, the front of it looks so well put together, but if you look at the backside, it's like, what in the world is going on?
Right.
And when you're in it, in your own life, it feels like you're only looking at the backside until you can get some perspective and then you see the other side of it. And it's like this beautiful thing that's
has lovely.
All perfectly come together.
Crochet is like that, isn't it? Cross stitch.
Exactly.
Rent is the one that goes, there's a little cross stitch.
500,
25,000. Yeah, 6,000, 25,000, 55,000 minutes.
Just like that.
That's how many minutes there are in this play.
It's about
a bunch of people.
No, like,
they like have clocks
and they're all timing how long it takes.
How long did you take to get to the diner today? How long did you take to get down the stairs? 6,000, 25,000, 3,000 minutes. That's the iconic song.
He's pretty much nailed it.
Yeah.
Was that how did you start in this business?
Yeah, let's take it back.
What was your first artistic when you, what were you doing?
What was the, I'm like trying
you know
to
what I mean? Like, did you study to be a dancer?
No, I thought I was going to be a pop singer.
Oh, who would you have modeled yourself on?
Well, at the time, I wanted to be like the Spice Girls.
Oh, right. Who was your favorite Spicy Girl? We met the Spice Girls.
Scary. What about you?
What? Who would I have been?
Who's your favorite?
No, who was your favorite?
I'm going to guess.
I think, no, go on. Oh, I've ruined it.
Yeah, because I saw what you were going to say.
I think scary as well. Mm. I just thought that she had the most amount of genuine pizzazz about her. What about you? Can I guess?
Yeah.
Baby.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, it was.
Was it? And we met Baby Spice, didn't we?
We actually we had to do a TV show once where I had to marry her.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was lovely.
Were you nervous?
I was nervous.
Yeah? How'd that go?
Yeah, it went good. It was a good scene. And but I didn't tell her I had a crush.
Yeah, you had a crush on it. Emma Bunton, right?
That's
Emma Bunton.
The weirdest thing about working in this industry and being in this industry when you meet people and you're like, I had a crush on... Like, I still go back to the Jason Momoa and Lisa Bonet thing that it was like he put out that he had a crush on her when he was young.
Very cool.
It's always so bizarre to me.
Yeah, I had a crush on Kylie Minogue. That never transpired.
There's still time.
I think she's married now, or pretty much.
Oh, wow.
I also like professional crushes. Have you had those? Which is not a... I would like to give you a special kiss in the dark time, crush. Oh. It's more of, I admire you so much that I'm crushing on you. I was very lucky to meet David Bowie. And when I spent time in his presence, I was just like, I think I'm in love with you. And it's just...
You said that?
Yeah.
Did you?
No, I thought
it. I wish you did. He probably would have loved that.
Deep, deep admiration for someone who showed up just as a very friendly, cool kind of guy. And obviously he knew about Lord of the Rings. I think he auditioned for Elrond and, you know, it didn't quite work out type thing. But I was just in awe of the man and his talent. I'm so addicted to talent, you know. But let's go back to you. So you wanted to be a pop star. You wanted to be the sixth Spice Girl.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be a pop singer. I grew up out in California and my sister auditioned for stuff when she was younger, but she booked commercials and then she would think, she had to go out every time the commercial aired, so she thought she had to leave the family every time there was her commercial on TV. So she didn't want to audition anymore. She's my older sister, so my parents were like, you're not going to audition. We'll wait and see when you get older if you still want to be in the industry. And so I started taking voice lessons, and I was like, this is what I want to do. And both of my parents were like, you're going to college. I was like, cool, okay.
Yep. What did you study at college?
I studied broadcast journalism, and then I minored in music industry because I was like, I'll be able to write my own contracts. No. that was the thought in my head. I was like, one job is kind of entertainment-y, but I could write somewhere. It's like a little less scary than acting or singing. And then I grew up reading comic books and playing video games and all that kind of geek stuff. And G4 was out around the time when I was graduating. And I was like, I want to be on that show. I want to like be able to talk to people. And I think because I moved so much, I really enjoy talking to people and getting to know them and asking questions and kind of got to this place where you're like, no matter who the person is, you're going to have something in common. You're going to find some common ground. So that kind of led into hosting and people started finding out, oh, she really knows her stuff. She really does go to a comic shop. She really does like this stuff. And it just kind of led one job to another, to another, to another. And then the acting stuff started happening because the only way I can describe it is that, like, I think in every other industry, you can get a promotion. You can move up. You can try new things. And for me, for hosting, it's like, not that I've done everything in the world as a host, but it's like, I feel really confident in it. It comes pretty naturally to me at this point that I'm like, I would watch people on set and I was like, but I want to challenge myself with that. It's like where you're asking, are you impulsive? Right, are you? Right. I just like challenging myself and trying new things all the time. And now with acting, it feels like every part of me is awake when I'm there in a different way than it is for anything else for me. So that's kind of the trajectory.
The transition.
Yeah. The singing stuff I did for a little while, and the first group that I was a part of, they recorded two of us.
What was it called, the group?
It was called, we'd never put anything out. We were in a development deal. We were called Impulse.
Impulsiveness. Mm-hmm.
So they recorded two of us, had other girls come into the studio, didn't record them. And then I was like, that's a lie that I don't want to have going on with this group of women anyway. And then they were like, also, we want you to say that you're 17. And I was like, no, I'm done.
Really?
Well, how old were you?
I must have been 21.
Oh, that's strange.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
What a weird thing to ask.
Yeah. So I was just like, there's enough weird stuff in this industry anyway that I was like, I don't want to start it on all these lies. Like, that's not who I am. So, you know, then the hosting stuff happened. And I was like, I can totally be myself and be a dork. And
that's great. Yeah.
Do you know, I watched Grease last night because of the untimely death of the wonderful Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah.
And Grease is probably in my top three musicals of all time. But there are some incredibly out of date, inappropriate things that go on in Grease. Not only do all the cast look kind of 35 and supposed to be school kids, but there's some objectifying women, which is really inappropriate. There's a lot of language that is not cool. And then there's some, like, you know, like Rizzo has like a pregnancy scare. And basically the entire group are like, well, you're done.
Yeah.
You're just done. You're not part of our group anymore. And then when she finds out that she's not pregnant, they're like, oh, you're back in the gang.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Also, Vince Fontaine, you know, the guy who runs the whole dance off, he essentially tries to drug Marty. He tries to kind of roofie her. And she's a schoolgirl and he's like a 50-year-old TV star. I was watching it last night. I mean, it's a brilliant film. The music in it is extraordinary. But I was like, this is not aged well at all.
Oh, God.
That's a lot of old movies, though. Like, I just rewatched the original Top Gun.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, there's stuff in there where it's like, Tom Cruise's character follows her into the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's just like, and you kind of have to look at stuff and be like, it was a different time. Like, I watched Swiss Family Robinson, and I was like, oh dear, can't watch that.
Yeah. Yeah, we were saying on a podcast at some point that if you watch the original Top Gun, with a view of Tom Cruise's character kind of being a bit of a jackass, he just is.
Yeah.
He almost gets goose fired like three or four times. He's horrible to everyone. He's extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
He's mean to his officers, to his commanding officers, and to the girl that he's supposed to be in love
with. But then he smiles.
And then he's gone. Puts on those Wayfarers. Hello.
It's true.
I saw a stand-up talking about Tom Cruise movies.
Yeah.
And he says that basically, you know, he's a guy who makes cocktails really well. Mm. And then he loses the kind of his confidence in making cocktails. And then he meets a woman, a beautiful woman, who teaches him again that he can make cocktails really good.
Mm.
Or he drives a car really good. Mm. But then he loses the confidence in driving a car.
A woman.
Meets a really beautiful woman who gives him the confidence.
Yeah.
He also runs really well in movies.
Oh, he's a good runner.
Oh, he's
a great runner.
He's a great runner.
So, have you watched the new Top Gun?
I've seen it twice.
I loved it.
I loved it.
I can't tell you how much I loved it.
Try.
It was as if, have you ever lost your wallet?
Great callback.
It was like, I could tell every beat they were wanting me to feel and mm-hmm. every emotion, but I didn't care. I was yeah. just like, I love this. Yeah. I absolutely
I did
love
too.
It.
Really? The first time I saw it in 4DX, which have you ever been to one of those theaters?
Is that where the chairs move?
Yeah. The chair moved. Yeah. There was fans. There was like water that right. sprayed on me. And I was like, this is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, yeah. like, yeah. It was great.
I was literally like a kid in a candy store because when the jets are like moving, the chair's like, you're like, this is the next step closer to being in the movie. I'm so close.
That's such love a great that. Movie. Well, hey, let's talk about video games. So you worked with G4 for a while. So what are the video games that have gone through your life? What are the important ones?
So I think the first couple would probably be Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sega.
Aladdin. And the most iconic for me was Halo. Because it was while I was living in New York. And this is the most ridiculous story, but it's when I was gaming the most, that I would order bagels from the bagel shop that was literally downstairs from my apartment.
Right.
And one of the new Halo games had come out. It was like the fourth or fifth day that I'd ordered a bagel. The guy comes to the door and I open it and I'm in the same clothes that I was in from day one. And he's like, are you okay? I was like, oh, yeah, I've been playing a video game. He was like, oh, I thought you had a breakup or you were sick or something. I'm like, no, I'm enjoying myself. I'm sorry that I'm in the same clothes and you're delivering me bagels, but I could just walk downstairs, but I'm not doing it.
Oh, that's sweet that he asked that. Yeah. We were asked that question a while ago on the podcast. Have any of us played Halo? Because I love the original Halo. I got really deep into that too. Like the single, I mean, it's one of the greatest multiplayer games ever, the original Halo. But the single player game, with Master Chief, I said to Billy, walking around kind of, you know, decrepit, broken down space stations, and you think, oh, it's kind of quiet, nothing's going on, and then you turn a corner and all those little and show up. You're like, oh God!
Yeah. Yeah.
What a game.
Yeah. It was one of those games where I would play by myself, and then having the group play was so much fun, because I don't really like playing with other people usually. Halo's the only one that I will.
Right.
But if I want to play with other people, I want to play board games. Like, I'm a huge tabletop person.
Do you ever play League of Legends?
I don't.
You should. Me and Dom play it. We're brilliant at it. I'm a bit better than him, but
it's
he's
not true.
It's not like true. Every time you say stuff, I'm like, I don't. It's like, I believe
49.9%
of what you're saying.
No, we absolutely
do. We absolutely do love to play it.
I believe that you play. I just don't know that I believe that you're really good at it.
He absolutely... He's good.
I'm brilliant.
I'm definitely better.
But that's a fun game. There's only five really people, but they'll give you a hard time.
Yeah.
He just switches off the thing.
Yeah. No interest.
But sometimes I like to read it because it's hurtful, but... It's a learning.
You can learn something when someone says, turn off this game and never play it again, which they said to Billy.
Yeah. Somebody said, please never play this game ever again. Yeah.
Delete it from
now
your
desktop. Now I don't believe that you're good at all.
No, he is good. He's improved.
Yeah.
He is the most improved player. I will say that, Billy.
Yeah.
He went from being, when we would play, we'd be like, okay, of course we always want to play with Billy, but it'd be like, it's going to be tough because Billy is still at a point where he's saying there's a lot of colors, there's a lot of noise, there's a lot of activity.
Yeah,
I think I'm involved. I'm not entirely sure.
Do you forget which character you are sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes, I mean, in the big battles when everybody's, I just press all the buttons that I'm supposed to press, and then I just let it happen.
Wait, so I had a flashback when I was telling you that I was a Lord of the Rings fan. There was a reason. I had a question. So, did you guys always have this dynamic? Or has this like developed since doing the films?
Well, this is an
like
act.
I feel like you.
No, we're both heavily medicated. I took double today because I thought you were going to really get on my nerves, and you have been getting on my nerves today.
I got a stomach cramp.
Yeah, from the excitement of just being in this space. Now we've always kind of we work together the closest out of anyone, I would think. I mean, obviously, Elijah and Sean did their thing, but there's also, you know, large sections of the film where Sean's on his own, Elijah's on his own. And they also have a kind of master-servant dynamic, which I think Pete was very keen to kind of say to those guys, well, certainly to Sean, you're not equals. You do call him Master Frodo. He is kind of your boss. You do look up to him. But we're just mates. I mean, obviously, you know, Aragorn and Boromir become mates.
Yeah.
Legolas and Gimli become mates.
Merry and Pippin are, you know, related in terms of their family tree, but they're just friends. And I think without Billy and I really talking about it too much, I think we knew that we were kind of one of the pure representations of friendship and what we're ultimately trying to save in that film. And we're both Brits, so we kind of get that pub sense of humour. And we're both medicated, so that, that does help.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
as,
we can.
As he just stares off into space.
Yeah.
No, as soon as we
just
sort of
in there
met,
for a second.
As soon as we met, it was like, oh, because Dom was one of the last to arrive on set. So it was kind of worrying because I thought, I've got to spend a lot of time with this guy. I hope I like him. So we did go out and played some pool.
Yeah.
And I had a couple of beers the first night we met. And we thought, oh, yeah, good. This is going to be okay. Because that's the worry, isn't it? When you've got to work really closely with someone, whether it's a play or whatever you're doing, you're just thinking, wow, this is going to be a long time.
Mm.
But I also feel like, I don't know, like I think there is a natural, there is something that you either have chemistry with someone or you don't. But as an actor, I kind of feel like that's part of our job is to make people see that there, even if it's not.
Yeah.
So like for Harry and Meghan, I didn't meet who was playing Harry until we were up there about to shoot.
Right.
And so I went out of my way. I was like, we're going to a hockey game together. We need to like spend time together to get comfortable in each other's space. But I was like, even if I don't like him, which we are really good friends, like we Zoom over the pandemic years and all that kind of stuff. But I was like, we are going to have the chemistry that we need to have.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's part of our job.
I agree. Mm. I think it is part of our job. And sometimes you have to mine for it a little bit more than others. I've certainly done jobs where I've had to, you know, kind of act like we are a lot closer and you know, friendlier and want to spend time with each other because we play partners or because we play husband and wife. The great thing with Billy and I was it was effortless. And also, you know, we just kind of chose to spend time with each other. Like I said, when they were shooting Helm's Deep and we were aware that we had a little bit of a little bit more time than normal, we didn't just say, all right, see you in a couple of weeks. We were like, well, let's go learn to scuba dive. At the weekend, we'd be surfing. We'd always be hanging out with each other. It's that yes and thing, right?
Yeah.
Which I didn't, I was never really exposed to the yes and thing. Of course, I was improvising in, you know, workshop stuff when I was a kid in plays and stuff. But no one in Manchester or in England said to me, it's this yes and thing where when you get to the end of something, you want your partner to say, great, yes, and we build on that. And then you keep it in the air.
Yeah.
Billy and I just seem to instinctually know that with each other. So you always know that it's never going to fall flat. Because the other person's going to pick it up for you.
Yeah.
You know? Which helps when you're on stage. I mean, Billy and I have done a few conventions this year and we do these panels on stage. And, you know, sometimes things can be a little bit clunky. The question isn't great or maybe you've answered that question 20 times before. And we can all kind of tell if someone is slightly struggling and you're very quick to kind of yes and help them out, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Billy and Dom eat the world.
Are you going to be able to eat anything?
I'm going to do it.
You should be happy because mine's pretty bland.
Will you thing me? Would you like a ghost pepper with yours?
Or would
do
you it. Like a...
Do you, no, you don't have to.
You don't
to
have
do
to,
it.
Tiffany, but you can have
I'll
a bite.
I'll do it.
You
I'll
can have
it.
A bite.
I'll do it.
Well,
really?
Yeah,
I will. Why not?
All right, great. Just a bite. We'll show you how much.
I'm not going to eat the seed, though.
No, don't eat the seed.
You sure you want to do that?
William, don't talk her out of an experience.
Well, I wouldn't, Dom.
What are you going to do with this pepper? Because do you think we're going to do...
No, I'm going to taste a piece of the pepper after everything. I'm not doing it now.
I think that's a good shout.
We still have some of these... What was it called, Dom?
Carolina Reaper, but I unfortunately called it the Carolina Reaper a
few
times. He
couldn't get it out for a few times.
Sometimes
you could almost not get there.
The Carolina Reaper.
It was good. The great thing I would say about it is hot and spicy. But the feeling lasts for about 10 minutes. Then it's gone.
You'll notice if you eat it down to the seed, which I did.
I don't think he did.
Then it's
We've already
it's
had this conversation.
It's much
I won't
more
be
intense.
Eating the seed.
Don't eat the seeds.
Don't worry.
Unless you want it really intense.
I could have eaten the seeds and run a mile.
John ate the seeds and he had to run a mile to the nearest toilet.
We're eating a potato, which is my father's favorite meal. Hello, Dad. Why a potato?
I'm like not the biggest foodie in the world, but a baked potato with cheddar cheese and bacon and butter and sour cream is like the most comfort food of comfort foods for me.
I'm gonna taste it. It was making by Johnny Clue.
Yeah, well,
Johnny Clue's made.
Do you remember? Was potatoes a big thing in your family? Are you? Would you?
I thought you were about to look in the bio if it's anything about potatoes.
I've got the wrong bio.
I don't like. No.
I was really picky
when I was. I'm trying to think because I don't remember a lot of stuff from when I was younger, but I think it's because they're all such good memories. So it's like everything kind of blends together.
Mm.
So sometimes I'm like, did I do that? Did I like this?
The whirlwind.
Yeah. Like I know I liked pasta with just a lot of butter and cheese. That's all I would eat for a really long time.
Don't we all?
Was your parents, did they cook a lot of stuff?
Yeah. My mom's a really good cook. My dad would cook too. He had like specific things. He would do breakfast for dinner. So it was really exciting when Dad would cook because he would do that at night.
Oh, nice.
It's the best. I love breakfast for dinner.
Mm, scrambled eggs and pancakes for dinner time.
You wouldn't eat it though because someone else made it for you.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. How good are my scrambled eggs, Billy?
Scrambled eggs are actually very good.
Do you know what though?
What?
It concerns me
that
you won't eat other people's food. Now, do I want to eat what you make?
Mm. Exactly.
Well, Johnny Clues made this. I didn't make this. But yeah, I do struggle with other people's food sometimes. But my scrambled eggs come directly out of the Waldorf Hotel in London, which is also Gordon Ramsay's restaurant. And so it's basically Gordon Ramsay's method. It's not different.
I was like, wait, do you ship the eggs from England?
No, I just follow his method. There's nothing different about the eggs or what he puts in the eggs. He just has a completely different method for making them than what we're used to.
Do you put milk in them?
He makes them slow. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Slow and stirred. You got to get a lot of air in there. And you got to keep it cool. So as soon as it starts to turn into what you think is scrambled eggs, you take it off the heat. Take it off the heat, Tiffany. And then you let it cool down.
And then do it
again.
You
put it on a little bit of heat. And then if it gets
hot, I don't have the patience for that.
Yeah, so the scrambled eggs will take like 20 minutes. But my God.
No.
I mean, they're delicious. They're incredible. Oh, yeah, they're very good.
Incredible.
But this potato is very good. And I was very hungry. Johnny Clues, you made this in a real oven, didn't you?
A real oven.
You've done well, John.
I like to do, you cover in olive oil, some salt, pepper. Mm-hmm. I usually do garlic salt, but not this week, unfortunately. And then about 90 minutes, slow cooker.
You've done well, John. I've heard of this.
Did you put holes in it?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I poke holes on every side. Well, all around, 360 degrees.
See, this is the thing. I was saying, I don't like to cook very much. So when they were like, tell us a food that you really enjoy.
Yeah.
Usually when I get a baked potato, I order it from somewhere.
Do you really? Is that not a strange order? When you order it, do they go, a baked potato?
A lot of places that have steaks and stuff, they always have like a baked potato on the side.
Mm.
And so I'll just get a baked potato and like a salad.
Right.
Or my favorite is at Bob's Big Boy, they have baked potatoes and then I'll also get a black and white milkshake.
Oh.
And that's like...
So what is that, coffee and vanilla?
No, it's vanilla ice cream with chocolate syrup. I don't love chocolate ice cream, so I like having the vanilla and the chocolate together.
And do you have a very, very strict and stringent gym routine? Because why are you not 6,000 pounds?
I do work out a lot, but I also don't do this all the time. Like, I really do think there is, when you work out and you do it often enough, you can have days where you eat a baked potato and have a milkshake and
absolutely
say it's fine.
You can. Well, I don't know if you're aware, but Billy Boyd sat to my left here.
Hello.
Hello.
He's currently bulking.
I'm bulking.
Do you want to tell Tiffany about you bulking?
I'm basically eating a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm lifting huge weights.
How much are you lifting now? Mm. Like for a deadlift?
For a deadlift?
I've got a bad knee.
Oh, okay.
Excuses.
Wait, now I feel like you don't lift at all. You just looked at him to say...
Give me a yes and.
I like eating a lot. And I thought... I'll just call it bulking.
Yeah.
And I'll see how big I can get. But
so wait, are you not lifting weights?
I'm
just
lifting
eating
some. But I'm probably not eating. I'm eating more than I'm lifting.
He wants to get... Did you watch Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Do you remember the mountain? He's hoping to kind of get... We were saying the other day, so big that if he was walking down a high street,
someone
like a pedestrian's high street...
A mini mountain.
They'd either think it was the mountain or people would start to, move out the way from distance. You'd be like, oh my God, look at him. Get out of the way. He wants that type of size. And I think you can achieve it.
I'm going to keep trying.
Mm-hmm.
I think baked potatoes will probably help that.
It's true. So I never really lifted weights. And then during the pandemic, I started training at a gym and doing a lot of weightlifting. And my body has never changed as quickly as it did weightlifting.
Mm. It's the way forward. I've got a friend back home who's a trainer and has been for years. And he's always said that's the big difference, you know. Don't do a ton of cardio. You know, do cardio.
Yeah.
It's good for your heart. It's good for your lungs and all that.
But don't try and change your body or anything. We can't lift weights, which is what I do.
Good job there was a plate there. Otherwise, you would have a mashed potato crotch.
And there's nothing worse, Dom.
Nothing worse.
Right, Dom.
Baked potatoes are so good, man.
These are very good, John.
And this was a great time with the two of you guys, but now just like leveled up even more.
Yeah, it's fantastic. We've not spoke about anything about the potato, one of the most iconic vegetables on the planet. I don't have my bio anymore. I think I might have eaten it in a fit of joy. But could you say just something about the potato?
I mean, would you like to know something about the baked potato?
It's kept civilizations.
Oh, wait, there's a history about potatoes. Oh my God, here we go.
It's kept civilizations alive for centuries, William.
This is going to make me feel like
I'll do it as a question and answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go on.
In the annual fruit crop of the world, where do you think potatoes sit? You know, rice, potato, etc.
Now that's in terms of how much is farmed.
Or
how much?
The volume.
Oh.
The volume of it.
I'm going to say number one.
Number one in the world of food farmed. What would you say?
Biggest weight. I mean, what weighs heavier than a potato?
Is this based off of weight or this is based off...
Well, that's what you explained there, William.
The amount. I need more detail.
I'm going to say weight.
You're being vague. Be more clear.
Turns is good. The annual crop, weight.
Weight. I'm going to say number one. I'm going to say it's the heaviest crop of the year.
It may be the heaviest individually.
I'm going to say three. I'm going to say number three.
Tiffany's much closer.
Oh, is it seven?
It's four.
It's four. What's number one? Rice?
Wheat.
Rice. I don't know what order they go in, but rice, wheat, and corn all beat it.
Oh, of course, corn. Yep.
When do you think it was first cultivated? This is good doing it as a question and answer. I'll give you.
Give us some options.
I hate trivia.
No, you're brilliant at trivia.
Tiffany, we're going to fall out.
Here's what will happen. We do trivia and I let you answer everything because I get really stressed out.
If I don't know what to put on...
You can't because you're answering first.
If I don't know what to put on YouTube, I'll sit at home and put on a general trivia quiz and just see what I can answer correctly. Yeah, I love trivia, mate.
Who was the first man on the moon?
Neil Armstrong, that guy who played the trumpet.
Well done.
Can I have multiple choice for the...
Yeah, of course you can.
Please have multiple choice.
Okay. Right, when was it first cultivated? I'll give you a clue. It was first cultivated by the Inca. Now, was that around 8,000 to 5,000 BC, 5,000 to 2,000 BC, or 2,000 to 1,000 BC? That's 85.
You're not a nice trivia man.
Well, because that's the best I can do.
You could have done like one that was like 2,000.
Oh, 1945.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Was it 8,000 to 5,000 BC, 5,000 to 2,000 BC, or 1945? Just after the war. When was the first potato?
With B.
Well, you're wrong, because it was A.
Yeah.
8,000 to 5,000 BC. I'll give you one, Dom. You ready?
Yeah, go on, give us one.
So it was first cultivated 8,000 to 5,000 BC,
correct,
right?
Correct.
Did it get to Europe 1,000 BC?
BC?
180.
You have the paper in front of me.
I know. Or 1,500 AD.
I'm going to say 1,500 AD.
Yeah, you're right, Dom. After the Spanish conquistadors conquered Peru.
This isn't a competition between the two of us.
It is a little bit. Usually my entire life is a competition between me and other people. Sorry, I'm very competitive. Sorry.
Then we definitely should play Magic.
Yeah, let's play Magic.
Why don't you guys go and play it?
Yeah.
We should.
I think one of my favorite Spanish words is conquistador, which you just said, Billy. Do you speak a little Spanish, Tiffany?
Yo hablo un poquito de español, but je parle un peu de français more.
Oh, a little bit of French. Love it. Is that based on your upbringing? Did you study it at school? Enjoy your potato. Mm-hmm.
Hey.
William, tell us some more.
He put potato in his mouth and he's going to start talking to
you. Yeah.
I'll tell you, the listeners hate that.
Like a little hamster.
Do they really hate that?
Yeah.
We did a thing.
Show of hands. And people said they didn't like it.
Yeah. We were consistently chewing on the mic because we were like,
like I'm doing
food's
right now.
Great. Yeah. And they were
this is absolutely delicious.
It's making us feel sick.
I love this. Right. United States and the baked potato.
Oh, go on. Yeah.
Although earlier Americans enjoyed baked potatoes similar to their English counterparts,
The more modern version came in large part due to the efforts of the Northern Pacific Railroad. Mm. In the early 20th century, the company's dining car superintendent, Hazen Titus, became...
Hazen Titus? Is that his last name? Mr. Hazen Titus?
Well, it might be pronounced Titus.
Sounds like something out of a fairy tale.
T-I-T-U-S.
Did you get this off Wikipedia?
Please, Mr. Hazen.
No. Yeah. This is all made for us by Johnny Clues.
Expertly researched
Johnny,
by Johnny
did you get
Clues.
It from Wikipedia? No.
Yeah. Hazen Titus.
Mr. Hazen Titus.
Became enamored with the enormous Idaho potato.
Yeah, a whopper. The Idaho
often
potato.
Weighing between 2 and 5 pounds.
You could have given us that as an option for the quiz.
Yeah, I would never have guessed 5 pounds for a potato.
They were widely considered unwieldy for traditional cooking and thus fed to hogs.
Hogs?
Hogs! In particular, hogs, yes.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
however, Hazen Titus found them to be delicious. When he baked them for a long time.
Yeah, about 5 or 6 hours for those guys.
He began to promote them and incorporate them in the menus of the Northern Pacific Railroad.
He basically started doing commercials for potatoes.
Yeah, for the Idaho potato.
Yep. A 5 pound potato.
I mean, I just did a commercial for potatoes I was like, guys, let's eat potatoes.
Yeah, we love potatoes. Right? The Idaho potato, I would say, is the most famous potato from the United States, right?
I mean...
Okay, I couldn't name
it. Is there a competition between types of potatoes?
Yeah, I think there is now.
There's like baby potatoes, red potatoes, russet potatoes, Idaho potatoes.
I like the fingerlings.
Oh, there's another one.
Fingerlings.
Food fads and new delectables will come and go. However,
the potato's here to stay.
Have you read this?
Yeah.
It's a safe bet that the potato, and specifically, the baked potato is here to stay, and it will remain as popular in the future as it has done for hundreds of years.
Mm. Now, Tiffany, you will, in a perfect world, have a baked potato with cheese, bacon, and butter. Is that your all-time favorite way to have a baked potato?
Yeah, with sour cream and ranch dressing on the side.
Oh, wow. For a little.
How would you have it, John?
Mm-hmm. I think... butter, salt and pepper. I like it hot. I put some hot sauce in that. Maybe a little cayenne pepper, a little turmeric, something like that. Mm-hmm. What about you, Bills?
I'd have it with tuna fish, mayonnaise, and a finely sliced onion.
See, again, you're doing the thing where you're looking right at me and I'm like, I don't know if you're telling the truth or not.
It's true.
No,
I mean, it's kind of like a
there.
Tuna casserole.
Tuna, mayonnaise.
Yeah.
And then it's my wife who says, you should cut up an onion.
I love raw red onions.
Gives it a crunch. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, he said hot pepper, Tiffany.
What about sweet corn? No sweet corn in that baked potato. That's a great combination with tuna and mayonnaise. And
I know what you mean, Dom, but I'm trying to make it easy for myself. And I don't know if I've got sweet corn.
Yeah,
If I'm bulking,
I know you are bulking, yeah.
Tuna, mayonnaise, and if I can be bothered, onion.
Right.
But I might not even bother with the onion.
Yeah.
Should we move on?
Now, we give this scores.
Both scores out of 10.
But before we score it, do you really want to taste that pepper?
I do, actually.
I think you should.
Because I'm saying you shouldn't.
I'm doing it. But now, how much... I need to know, how much...
Like, we did,
like... did you eat this whole thing?
No.
Like this little nut.
No.
See, hold on, I'll point at it with these glasses.
With the legs of your glasses, Billy.
So see this top bit? It's got no heat.
The little part.
It's like a bell pepper. Okay.
So you get a taste from there. But see that little bit that looks like a little...
swirly doodad?
Like that. Bite that.
I'd have something maybe the size of a half a penny or a quarter of a penny. Something like that. But try the little spiky bit because it'll just be like a bell pepper initially. There'll be nothing that you'll think, oh, that's hot. It's just like a bell pepper, right? Because it's interesting.
Do you like hot food?
I do, yeah.
Because it's interesting to think that just a couple of centimeters above that, it turns into almost a completely different
thing. This is the hottest pepper that has...
What? Can we wait until she's had a bite before you start scaring the hell out of
her? Did you just bite it or did you guys break a piece off with your fingers?
Don't touch it with your fingers.
I already did.
Then you may touch it with your eyes.
Don't put your fingers in your eyes.
Well, that's all right. You'll be okay with that, I think.
It's not a lot, Tiffany.
Is my tongue is really hot.
Right, is it, let me see what you took.
How much, Billy? Get? Would you say more?
Like a sliver.
I need to put my glasses.
More.
I
don't have about
my mouth is already hot.
Look, like
I
this.
I can't even see what you took.
No. Oh my gosh. It was a swirl right here. I bit off.
You never even took it.
Come on. Just like a quarter of a penny. Come on.
I can't eat a quarter of a penny. My mouth is already hot.
Maybe take an eighth of a penny.
An eighth of a penny.
I took it down to the seeds. Dom didn't even do that.
I don't know if you did get to the seeds, you know.
Oh no, that's too much, is it? Right, don't touch your eyes.
Don't touch your eyes with your face. Now talk us through your symptoms, Tiffany. Heat to hot heat.
So first my tongue was really hot. Now my whole throat is really... My eyes are going to start watering.
Right, don't touch your eyes.
Don't touch your eyes.
I know.
Don't use that because that's been on there.
I actually got hot teeth. Hot teeth and hot gums. Teeth. Yeah.
I got the hiccups. I went...
This is really hot.
It's hot, isn't it? It's but you're really handling it fine.
No, you're doing okay.
Mm.
Right, we're going to give scores to the baked potato.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Oh my God,
so,
I hate eating part of the potato.
The first thing we do...
Yeah.
The first thing we do...
The potato will help.
Yeah.
Because it'll nullify it.
Wait a minute, didn't he say don't eat any root vegetable?
He said potatoes activate it.
Can I have a tissue for my eye? It's crying. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Don't touch it. You touched the pepper with the thing.
Use the bottom
one.
Get
other
ones. Use the bottom one. You're fine. Tiffany,
what's it feel like?
Oh, your cute little face is perspiring.
It feels like I got something in my eye.
Like, don't touch your eyes, whatever you do. Now,
flavor.
Baked potato.
There's
Tiffany
no flavor.
No, yeah. Not that. No, just the baked potato. That's the first thing that we score.
And also, just so you know, one of the first symptoms of eating a hot pepper is absolute madness. And it does seem like you're moving into that arena.
I'm full crying.
Yeah. Billy, let's you and I do a flavor thing and give Tiffany a moment just to collect herself.
The flavor of a baked potato, especially when made by Johnny Clues, is up there as one of the greatest flavors available to the humankind.
I disagree.
Why?
Well, I would say a baked potato that doesn't include any of the gubbins, the
fixings. But that's like saying chicken soup is just water.
Yeah.
So we're including the stuff that you add into it. Yeah. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
In that case, yeah, it's quite good.
Potatoes are really good.
Potatoes are good.
They're like the best thing in the world.
Why are you making her cry? You're saying they're not good?
Potatoes are good. I just find them a little boring. But yeah, if you add some fixings, and I did add some hot sauce. All right, I'm giving it a 6 out of 10.
I'm giving it a 9.1.
Wow.
I like it.
I love the flavor.
Tiffany, are you crying because of how great that potato experience was?
I'm crying because of how much you don't like potatoes.
I'm sorry, I like it more.
Do you want to score it as well?
I mean...
As a flavor, or because you brought it.
Of baked potatoes.
Yeah.
I mean, in general, the score of baked potatoes, I would say a 10 out of 10 always.
It's a 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
But this baked potato,
oh, God.
I like the cheese to be really melty.
John, for God's sake, melty cheese.
Are you
going to
dock it a point? 9, a 9,
I would say
eight?
Like a 9.9.
Well, that's all right.
Because
he went out and got all the stuff and he made the bacon crispy, which is like...
0.1 of a decimal point.
They were made 3 hours ago.
They were made three hours ago.
I mean, some handicap would be
sweet. And Jesus.
How are you feeling now?
Wait till you get the running.
Wait till you get the stomach cramps. That's
I'm not
going to
get the stomach cramps.
That's because I went down to the seats. Nobody else went down to the seats.
I don't think you did any seats. Billy.
What?
The aesthetics of a baked potato, which to be fair, I would say looks like a rhino shit.
What I like to do...
When it's not been cooked.
Yeah, yeah.
I cut it, and then I open it like a flower.
Remember those toys you used to get when you were younger? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Colour?
Pick a blue.
What? B-L-U-E. I'll pick a...
Number.
I don't know. But you'll pick a number.
3.
1, 2, 3. Right, pick one of them.
Right, who is this? Who I'm going to marry?
Yeah.
You love Jane. Who's Jane?
You're
married to Alison. Who is Jane?
I'm not saying who Jane is.
Sorry, Alison.
Holy moly.
Oh, you okay?
How are you doing now?
I keep thinking I'm okay, and then my mouth is like, no, you're not.
Wait till the cramps come.
I'm afraid to breathe in. I think it will make it hotter.
Yeah. No, yeah, just breathe out. Yeah. Wait till the cramps come. Did you go down to the seeds? I'm the only one who went down to the seeds.
I don't think you did eat the seeds.
Yeah, I went down to the seeds.
Now, I definitely did not.
The look, the aesthetics of a baked potato, with the fixings or without the fixings?
I see. We've got to go without.
Just on its own.
No way. No, I didn't say just a plain potato.
With
Tiffany.
And not your favorite fixings, Tiffany's fixings.
Bacon and cheddar cheese.
Cheddar cheese. Salt and pepper, please.
Sure.
Thank God for that. Not a Philistine. I mean, it's a nice look. It's a nice look. I don't eat bacon, but it's a nice look. I'm going to give it an 8.
Yeah, I like it. I'm going to give it an 8.4.
So you think it looks less pleasant than it tastes?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, it's not like, you know, if you went to a Japanese restaurant and it was a master chef.
You like, okay, you like presentation food.
Well, I'm just saying.
I see food like that and I'm like, that's not food.
Is it?
I'm going to make it messy and then I feel bad eating it.
So that's the reason why you define yourself as not a foodie. For you, food is functional. It has to make you feel good and fill up your tummy.
Yeah.
And you're like, enough with all the faff. I don't want plants and flowers on my plate.
I like plants and flowers on my plate, but I like, if it's like a baby bite, I'm like, no, but I'm hungry. Mm. I'm sitting down because I want a meal.
What about a king bite? Do you ever create a king bite for yourself?
What's that?
A king bite is like you have created what you consider to be the best bite in your meal, where you're like, I've tried this sauce, I've tried this side thing. I know
it's
hot.
Did this happen to you guys where it's like randomly all of your saliva and then you swallow it and your saliva is really hot?
Yeah.
Have you got a pulse? My neck was pulsing.
No, it's just like right here. It's just like all in my mouth.
I think it's because I took it down to the seeds.
I don't think you did it.
Did you eat the seeds?
No, yeah, I ate the seeds.
My ears were sweating.
His ears were sweating.
Yeah. Takes a lot. It's like an elephant, that. Wait, we were talking
potatoes,
about
potatoes, presentation, eating food.
A king bite. The perfect
But the way that you have a king bite is you've tried all the things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you're like, right, well, I don't want too much of the gravy because it's okay, but it's not great. So you create a king bite and then you have that when you're at your most hungry.
That's so I do like a weird thing because I think I used to, everything always had to be separated for me when I was little. Mm-hmm. So I can't decide sometimes if I want to have the best bite first when I'm hungry to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Or save it to the end. Mm. But then I'm full, so I don't enjoy it as much. Mm.
I think you have it at the start. My friends used to talk about that. Me and my friend Tom used to always threaten, it never happened, to go to McDonald's and eat the whole menu. Never happened. Yeah, I don't think I could have done it. But Tom always claimed that he could do it. And I always used to debate with him. I was like, well, what would we have first? And he was like, get the rubbish out of the way.
Yeah.
Have the hamburger, the cheeseburger, the nuggets. And I was like, no. Have the best thing first because you want to celebrate the meal and then you just sluggishly get through
the
rubbish.
And then at the end, you won't enjoy it.
Never happened
anyway. Like,
if
you're full, you won't enjoy it.
Okay.
That perfect bite, that was a...
The king bite.
Barbara Streisand did that in a movie once. I think it was...
Was it Yentl?
No, I think it was...
Funny Girl.
Either Funny Girl... No, What's Up, Doc?
Not sure. Is it the hot sauce?
Maybe.
This hot pepper. Sometimes I just zone out. I was like, am I supposed to just... Put whipped cream in my mouth? Is that what this is for?
Yeah, apparently John says that
Yeah, whipped cream's supposed to work. Anyway, I've given my score for the aesthetics, right?
We all have.
Oh, so now
I give it a 9.9.
Yeah, 9.9 because, yeah.
Usefulness. Right. Billy, this is a category that Billy came
10.
With. Talk us through the different ways that it can be useful.
Usefulness for my body or like potatoes?
If you want to talk about your body, that's fine. But let's stick to a baked potato.
If a light bulb breaks, you can use a potato to
No, there's no light coming out of a potato. I've tried it. I've turned off all the lights at night.
Unscrew it. If your light bulb breaks, you shove the potato onto it and you unscrew it with the potato.
That might be true.
And strangely enough, if you plug a light bulb into a potato, it will light it up because it works as a battery.
Yeah, there's some electricity in a potato.
You can make French fries. You can make hash browns.
From a baked potato?
But we're just talking, that's a potato. We're talking about a baked
You're
potato.
Taking it back to being
so
a
wait,
potato.
So wait, so usefulness.
The
I
usefulness
need, I need
of
more
a baked
of
potato. Can you bring it with you on a road trip? Can you put it in a little Tupperware
box? A foil
container,
yes.
If you're in the house and there's a baked potato, maybe from the day before, and you're like, oh, I've got guests coming over. I've got a baked potato. I've got 3 eggs. I've got a quart of milk.
An orange.
Orange. I've got ice cubes. What can I do?
Ice cubes.
Do I have my telephone?
No, you can't call people downstairs to give you a bagel.
You've got to make something from that.
Is it useful? Can I do something with that?
Is it versatile?
I mean, I could probably make some kind of a like shepherd's pie, something or other.
Or hash browns, mash it up, put it in a thing, mate, with nice oil, make it crispy.
Yep.
Sounding pretty useful to me, Dom.
That's
went all loose.
Yeah. Also, like, that always goes loose for you, that mic.
I know.
Maybe if you're struggling.
Because you move it around a lot.
Oh, do I?
Yeah.
If you've lost the baseball at a game, could you potentially use that?
No.
Temporary? No. Just a one-hit baseball?
No.
Cat round campfires, very good to have a baked potato.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
The best baked potato ever had. I'll take you back a bit here, Tiffany.
Mm-hmm.
Back, many years. A guy tried to blow up the Houses of Parliament in Britain. His name was Guy Fawkes. And he didn't do it. But from that day on Guy Fawkes Day, all the kids get together and build big fires.
Mm-hmm.
And they put Guy Fawkes on it.
Yeah.
But on Guy Fawkes Night, where I came from, we would also get potatoes and wrap them in tinfoil and throw it at the bottom of the fire. And then hours later, when the fires went down, you would get your potato out and put butter on it. And that was the best meal you'd ever have.
I like that.
Yeah,
so that's versatile, isn't it?
Yeah, and a little bit of British history thrown into the box.
Yeah. I'm doing a lot of history.
Yeah, you are.
Can we do like a history corner on this show?
Yeah. Is there any particular period in history that you want to learn about? Because Billy's quite a buff. What's the blind spot for you in history?
I mean, it could be anything.
Anything.
I don't know. I'm like, what would I want to know about?
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, yeah,
I mean, the Russian Revolution. I'm your
no,
man.
I like want to know all about like BC stuff, like way back.
Burning
Bush.
Yeah. I'll do something for you next week, Tiffany.
Okay. Mm.
Right. So
usefulness.
Usefulness. I'm going to have to say, I'm giving it a high one. I'm giving it a 8.7.
I've been swayed by the two of you because initially I was like, well, it's just a baked potato. There's not a lot going on there. But I actually think you guys have persuaded me. So I'm going to go higher than I thought. 8.3.
Well, that's quite high, actually.
I mean, potatoes getting up there.
You're obsessed.
Yeah. I love them. I also just had a thought. I was like, I wonder if they put hot pepper stuff into like lip balms that are supposed to like puff your lips up.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Because it feels like that now. Mm.
Where is it now?
It's just at the back of my lips and the rest is pretty much gone.
What about your soft palate? I had it in the soft palate for a long time.
It's on like the back of my tongue a little bit still.
Yeah.
It tends to go after around about 10 minutes.
Yeah, I think you're good. Do you want another bite?
No, okay? I don't.
Right?
I'm good. I don't have any stomach cramps. My eyes have stopped watering.
You probably won't get the cramps because you didn't go down to the seeds like I did.
I don't think you did go.
I did go to the seeds.
I don't think you did.
I didn't. Did you a score for
no, you didn't.
Usefulness, yeah, I said 9.9.
Oh, for,
wow,
I think that's I gave a lot it 9.9.
So you've gone 10, 9.9, 9.9.
Yeah,
that sounds like you with Marmite.
I love Have you tried Marmite? Do you even know
is
what
it like
is?
Brown stuff,
yeah,
in a jar?
It's like a brown yeast extract.
He loves it.
Extract.
It's like savory,
salty, very salt, very quite umami. Do you like umami stuff?
Not really.
Seaweedy,
no,
mushroomy.
No.
Oh, you don't like
I don't like mushrooms. I don't like olives.
Ah.
I don't like pickles.
We love mushrooms.
I mean, I like truffle oil, but I don't. I have a texture. Texture is my thing with food. If I don't like the texture of something, I'm like, no, I'm good.
Mm. You have to be careful about eating too many mushrooms, though, don't you? Because it turns you into a fun guy to be with.
Does it make you tell jokes like that?
Dad jokes?
Sometimes.
I'm here for the dad jokes. Hey, Bills, we've run out of time.
I know.
Well, it's been wonderful having you on. It's been wonderful just delving a little deeper into the world of the potato.
Hasn't it?
Yep. Who knew?
Thanks for coming in. And thanks for playing along and eating a pepper because I think most guests would say, I'm good.
Yeah, I won't bother
that's
with
fine.
That. I like that.
Why not?
You are positive and I like it. I like your vibe.
Me too.
I hope there's a lot of great things in the future. I really do.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, Tiffany. It's
thanks
been great
for bringing
having
music
you.
And bringing potatoes.
We've run out of time. We'll see you guys next week. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to the show.
Every time I see you smiling face, I love you.
I love you. And I love potatoes too.
See you next week, guys.
On the Friendship Onion.
Toodles.
Bye-bye.
Harmonize with me and hold me tight all through the night. You're shining bright. I'm your oyster, baby. You're my pearl.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.